Just kidding, I only took Tylenol, so you're safe. One of my favorite Magi stories involves a man named Pete who one Christmas Eve was making his way down to the southern part of Texas, and he made his way into this town and to visit his cousin Bobby Lee. And he needed some air in his tires, but when he attempted to explain this to the service station owner, the fellow Pete couldn't understand a word he was saying and that the owner was saying. And so Pete wrote him a little note, and the owner took the note, and he said, "Oh, y'all want air in your tires? Oh." So Pete wanted his oil check, but he was just a little too chicken to ask, because, you know, he wasn't sure how to even ask that, you know, because he knew if he said oil, it'd probably come out all, you know, or something like that. So he knew they sounded different, so Pete didn't ask. So he stayed overnight at a Motel 6, but before he went to bed, he wandered over to the Baptist church, little small Southern Baptist church in Texas, for the annual town Christmas pageant. And it was produced with great skill and talent and creativity. But one feature just bothered Pete. The three wise men were wearing firemen's helmets. Now, totally unable to come up with a reason or explanation, he left and he went to a 7-Eleven on the edge of town, and Pete asked the lady behind the counter about the helmets. And she exploded into a rage, yelling at Pete, "Don't y'all ever read the Bible?" And Pete assured her, you know, "Well, I did, but he can't recall anything about firemen in the Bible." And the lady behind the counter, she said, "Well, that just shows how ignorant y'all are." Said, "You know, everybody knows it says in the Bible that the three wise men came from afar." Favorite story. My favorite. I even make them cry. You know, you guys cry. I don't. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, it's a story that we've read and heard hundreds of times. And I realize that the story of the wise men occurs after the Christmas event. But I want you to see there's relevant, simple truths for us to apply to the Christmas event. And the Lord is going to help us do that this morning. The beauty of Christmas is that this is a profound message. Christmas really is a profound message, but it's simply given. And that's why it's really hard sometimes to even comprehend or understand that. But I want to read to you Matthew chapter 2, just to the end of verse 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to his word. We've been talking about gifts that are given, and this morning we're talking about a sacrificial gift. A sacrificial gift is personally given. Personally given. See, I think the thing that impresses me about these wise men's gifts is that they were personally given. Now, these were wealthy people. They were from another country. In fact, they were from Iraq. And they could have sent the gift. And, you know, I guess I'm impressed that they felt that they were on a mission. And they personally wanted to bring these gifts to the Christ child. Remember a few weeks ago as we began this series, you personally came and you presented at the altar your gifts to the Lord. Those things you wanted to give up, your health, your finances, what you were giving to God, and you gave them to Him. You presented those to Him. That's personally given. And I'm impressed when we read this, that these guys, they were on a mission. They personally wanted to bring these gifts to the Christ child. In fact, when you read this story, the personal part kind of just pops out at you. If you look at verse 2, we saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Verse 9, they went their way. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Verse 11, they came into the house. And opening their treasures, they fell down. They worshiped Him. They presented gifts to Him. It was personally given. Secondly, they were properly given. Now, it was more than a gift, and that's what the rest of the sermon is going to be about, is properly giving the gift. More than just gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it was a gift with worship and glory and honor and praise to Jesus. See, it was a gift that was given properly. I got to thinking about gifts. And you know, I alluded to this in our first part of the series, but I was thinking about gifts, how we give different kinds of gifts at Christmas, different ones. Like there's the gift for a gift. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, basically, this is when we get a gift from somebody, we figure out how much it was, then we go to the store and we buy them a gift for the same price or maybe a little bit more. You know, now the person that keeps this kind of mental list of value of gifts, I mean, have you ever heard anybody say, well, I got them something nice and they didn't get me anything in return? You know, they kind of keep the score, you know? This approach feeds the cash registers at Christmas. You know, every Christmas Eve, literally thousands of people, I meet them in line. They're running to stores at the last minute because they just got to get a gift for a gift so that, you know, because they got a gift for the person that gave them a gift for the gift of gift, you know? Like, it's a vicious cycle. It happens every year. It's rushing out saying, oh my, I've got to get a gift because they gave me a gift. I hope this is about the same cost. Same way with Christmas cards, by the way. I'll allude to that a little later. You get a card, the mail. Anyway, never mind. The second kind of gift that we give each other is the for a favor gift. I like this. Sometimes. The person that gives this gift doesn't expect a gift in return. But by giving you that gift, they expect you to do things that are nice for them. You know, this is a kind of a person that loves to keep score, but in a different way. They love to have IOUs sent out, you know? Every year, companies do that. You know, at the end of the year, they give employees a ham or a turkey. You know, they do. They don't expect the employee to turn around and give them a turkey or ham. Although, that'd be kind of good. You should try that, you know? You know, go into your boss and say, hey, here's a turkey back, you know? But basically, they give you a gift, and pretty much they're saying, I don't expect a gift back, but I expect you to, you know, keep your mouth shut, be a good employee the rest of the year, be nice and positive and kind of smart, you know? Just don't get into any trouble. Around March, you know, if you start kind of, you know, slacking off and doing a few things that you shouldn't, you know, didn't we give them a turkey this past Christmas? You know, like, you know, giving gifts, you know, and expecting nothing back, but expecting a favor. Boy, we didn't expect to have some little favor down the road somewhere. That's the kind of gift. Well, the third one, this is the properly given gift, is the grace gift. It's the grace gift. Now, the best way that I could describe a grace gift is it's unrepayable. You can't pay back a grace gift. Now, I take that term, obviously, from God, who through His Son, Jesus Christ, loves us so much, He gives us eternal life. Sacrificially, He gave His life so that we could have eternal life. It's a grace gift. Gift of God. We can't work for it. We could never, ever pay it back. And so as God's children, we can give a gift that just can't be paid back. Well, how do I describe this? My wife Joan and I, we get incredible grace gifts from our children throughout the year. I was thinking of a moment when I recall Nathan, my son, giving me a card that he had made which told of the things that I do for him as a dad. I was really excited when I flipped to the page that said he makes me laugh, you know, till I realized I didn't have to do anything to make him laugh, you know, just, you know. Or Felicia, my daughter, writing down what each of her family members add to her life. You know, mine was money, but no, I'm just kidding. No, it was just a joke. She didn't put that. But those are gifts. I mean, I still have those. Those are gifts that I will cherish forever. They're in my praise file. I have a praise file. Over the past year, I've received cards of encouragement, notes of gratitude, letters of how special First Baptist Church is. And those are gifts that in absolutely no way could I ever give a gift back for the gift that I received. It's a grace gift. You don't pay them back. It's non-repayable. Those are stuck in my praise file. That's where they sit. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about grace gifts. I want to just mention a couple of ways to give a grace gift and a couple of things about it when I think of a grace gift, because that's the properly given gift. It's impossible to measure the cost of these gifts. See, every Christmas time, we receive somehow from my mother-in-law her cabbage rolls. Now, they're made with extra pepper, and I don't know what kind of cabbage, but boy, they are so, my mouth's watering just thinking about them. They're fantastic. And I can remember, like, last Christmas, we received them ahead of time, big box, just like a care package, open it up, there they are. You know, they're still kind of frozen. And I said to Joan, let's dig in. She said, no, they're for Christmas. I said, well, let's pretend it's Christmas. Let's dig in. I mean, these things are so good. My aunt, she would make Christmas gifts crocheting and knitting, and she would watch TV, and she, you know, Days of Our Lives Are Young and Restless, something. And she'd pull out her knitting, and she'd get busy, and she, that's the grace gift. You know, beautiful, beautiful Afghan on our bed from her. Joan, she made me a gorgeous sweater, kind of a Richie Cunningham sweater. How many of you know Richie Cunningham? Yeah, you all know. You all know. And my favorite color, beautiful. I don't know how she did it. I mean, she knitted or crocheted or, I don't know, embroidered or something. Is that all the same? I'm not even sure if I'm talking. I'm in trouble now. Call Joan. Whatever, she did that, and it's special, the time that was put into that. See, I don't know what we've done with Christmas. But I think we need to turn this thing around. We need to quit running down to the department stores every time we think of somebody. We need to begin to pass on some grace gifts that will actually last. Well, secondly, these gifts are usually non-material, okay? So you can't buy them, usually, like togetherness gifts. Over this past year, I learned the best gift I can give my wife and my kids, even my parents, is time. I mean, time just for them. I came home one day and I said to Joan, I said, dear, today is yours. Whatever you want, we'll do. And she couldn't believe it. She looked at me stunned and she said, well, you stay home, I'm going to work. Same. Togetherness is a grace gift, you know? Service gifts. I mean, it's doing something for somebody. I had a friend who could do basically anything around the house. I mean, he fixed pipes, he could build, he can construct. I mean, he redid their entire mobile home, and it looked amazing. And I tried it once, and I want you to know that Scotch tape, black salve, and white glue does not hold a deck together. I mean, I tried. You know how I am. But I learned the other day, I really did, I learned the difference between a screwdriver and a pair of pliers. And I'm doing much better now. But that's another story. But, you know, this guy, he taught me so much about fixing leaking faucets. You know, you don't do it with the water on. You know, maintaining a furnace, turn it off first, you know. And, you know, my dad did that too. My dad taught me ways to service water heaters, framing, electrical wiring, and of course, soldering. That's my passion, the solder thing. It's a grace gift. You can't pay that stuff back. You just love and accept it. It's a good gift. Well, then there's encouragement gifts. I mentioned before cards. I mean, I I love to get cards. I get a card with a short note in them and or long letters of encouragement. But after the service, I see many of you. You're whispering in each other's ears, and you don't even know what that does to people when you tell them how great, you look good today. Wow, I just love the way you did it. Man, could you sing, you know? After the service, I see guys, you're hugging people. You're 30 minutes, you know, saying hi. You're praying for each other. You're trying to help people the way you can, and I love that. And, you know, when you're all gone and I've got no one else to hug, I hug a telephone pole and I go home. And it's the end. There's a tree up front. But there almost every Sunday, I see encouragement happening. You're doing it. It's a grace gift. See, some of you, it's a smile you share. Not the ones who suck lemons, but those of you who smile. You have a great laugh. Others of you, greatest gift I received are gifts without a price tag attached to them. Those are the kind of gifts that are grace gifts. So the wise men teach us a great deal about giving. They teach us give an unexpected gift. You see, no one was expecting the wise men to give gifts because they're not Jews. All they've done is study the skies. And I mean, you talk about a surprise when these guys show up at that stable. Because they don't really belong, in a sense, with Jewish culture. And here they traveled to get there so that they could give an unexpected gift. What a surprise! What shock! Reminds me of a story from USA Today. An elderly Florida lady did her shopping for Christmas. Upon returning to her car, she found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags and she drew her handgun, proceeding to scream at the top of her voice, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of my car." The four men did not wait for a second invitation. They got out and they ran like mad. The lady was somewhat shaken. She proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of her car. She got into the driver's seat, and she was so shaken she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried and she tried and she tried. And then it dawned on her a few minutes later that her car was parked four or five spaces just a little further down. And she loaded her bags into her car, and she drove right straight to the police station. And the sergeant to whom she told the story doubled over on the floor with laughter. And he pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. You talk about being shocked. Nobody would have thought that three magi would work their way over weeks and months to where Jesus was. But they sacrificed to get there. See, I'm here to tell you that the best gifts are unexpected gifts. Somebody has done something for you in your life, and maybe it's way back. And you know what you need to do? You need to think about that. In fact, I have a little card in that you received as you came in. I hope you got it. Did everybody get that little card? Yeah, you should have got it. Good, you got it. It says, "Someone I'll give sacrificially to this year." And there's a blank there. "This year I'm going to do something for somebody clear out of the blue, and I'll expect nothing in return." You all have a name, I'm sure, of somebody even right now that you could write in there that you're going to give to sacrificially throughout this year. Now, don't think, okay, December 20th, that only gives me till the end of December. No, we're going to go a full year on this one, all right? December 20th, 2009 to December 20th, 2010. Who are you going to give sacrificially to? An unexpected gift. Secondly, you've got to give with genuine joy. See, when the Magi gave this gift, they did it with such joy. I mean, they rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced when they saw Mary. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. That applies to more than just money. I mean, they could hardly wait to give this to the baby. When you give genuinely, give authentically, give with joy. When you give that way, you enjoy giving. But thirdly, the Magi also teach us, give something personal. I mean, it was a personal gift. You know, I'm sure I've told some of you this, that my brothers, my parents would make us give something to our other brother, something we cherished and loved. That's what we had to give for Christmas. So, you know, wrap up the thing we, you know, wanted to give, and they would open it up, and it would be our thing. But, you know, we'd, you know, open it up. And I mean, boy, I tell you that, I would not subject that to my children. I mean, it scared me. So kids, don't worry. You'll be safe, all of you, right? Don't. But, I gave my moth collection I saved in a plastic bag from cleaning out the ceiling lights. And I got my older brother's record collection, so it worked good for me. It might not work good for you, but it worked good for me. Records, by the way, for those of you, those are CDs. In case you're wondering, those are CDs, just to clarify. But you give something that you treasure, you know? Something personal. Fourthly, give something that will last. This story has been told for 2,000 years. And people still know the gift that the wise men gave. They still do. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thank you. See, we all know it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When I talk about a gift that will last, it means you can't go down and buy that gift. See? You got to give something that will last. I mean, they've tried to reframe the story of the Magi. Like, do you know what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men? You know? I mean, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. They've tried to reframe it. They can't, you know? Something that will last. I'm in trouble. Joan's ready to... Anyway... Well, gifts that you can give that will last forever, you can give good memories. It's nothing like giving the gift of memories. I mean, wow. Make sure this Christmas to do some things that will create memories. Okay, I know every Boxing Day, we would, Joan and I and the kids, we would go to her grandmother's place, grandmother's house we go. And I mean, it was an incredible moment because, I mean, there was every food group you can think of, like pierogies, potatoes, baked beans, ham, corn, turkey, roast beef, anything you want. I mean, obviously her grandmother had been cooking all her life. Grandmas do that. They cook all their life. And you know, grandmas are great because they want you to be fat. And, you know, the gravy, for instance, it was a little hard pouring because the fat on top. Good gravy. Best grit. Joan goes, avoid the gravy. No, I'm pouring it on. I mean, it's so good. I mean, I would have, you know, not normally gone back for five helpings, but it's something about food and grandmas and grandpas that keep you just going back. It's great. Grandmas can cook. See, Christmas is there for you to provide memories. The old-fashioned Norman Rockwell family Christmas. That's for us. Don't think it's just for families. It's for singles. It's for children. It's for grandmas and grandpas, young and old. Let's come together. Let's make Christmas memories. Spend time making memories with the people you love. That's a gift that will last forever, as well as a godly heritage. Now, it will bless you for generations. That's what the Bible teaches us. It will bless you forever, eternity. I remember a few years ago, actually, in a Bible study that I was doing, we were going around asking what to pray for, and one of the married fellows, he just had a child, and he said, there aren't any Christians on my wife's side or my side. She and I are the first Christians in our families. And he said, my prayer is I want to have a godly heritage for my kids and my grandkids. I want to be the one who starts a godly heritage for our family. That's the kind of gift that will last. A godly heritage. What does the wise man teach about giving? Give an unexpected gift. Give with genuine joy. Give something personal, give something that will last, and give the gift now. Don't wait. Don't wait to give. We're so good at waiting. Don't wait. Samuel Johnson said it well. He said, "He who waits to do a great deed of good all at once will never do anything." One of the greatest truths that I learned from my mentor, John Maxwell, he said, keep short accounts. Don't be one of those people who says that someday you're going to do something, and someday you're going to love somebody, and someday you're going to give something to someone, and someday you're going to help someone. Right now, reach out, love, care, and give. Do it now. Don't wait. Now, these wise men sacrificed, and that was their gift, because they couldn't wait to do it. They had to do it now. They weren't about to go back home until they got those gifts to Jesus. They pressed through the opposition, and they pressed through time, and I'm sure they were discouraged. And I'm sure people said, oh, turn back, you're never going to get there. You're never going to find him. And I'm sure they said, no, we want to give. We want to give to him. And we want to give it now. We don't want to wait. We want to sacrifice. And they gave sacrificially their gift of themselves to that manger, to our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to just ask you, if you really want to give a sacrificial gift this year, you can, like the wise men, give of yourself. You can sacrificially give yourself to Jesus. Just as the wise men did, you can set foot in that stable and you can say, Lord, I'm yours. I give you myself. I give you my wants, my desires. And Lord, I know that that's going to show differently in the gifts I give to others, because it will. God, I just want to give sacrificially to you and for you this Christmas. And if you're willing to say that to him today, while eyes are closed, heads are bowed, just lift your hand up if you're willing to say that to him today. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Maybe this morning you're here and you got caught up in keeping track. To give a gift for a gift, or give gift with a favor implied. And maybe you haven't been so open to giving a grace gift that can't be returned, but can only be accepted. Or maybe you find it hard to accept grace gifts. Maybe you'd rather accept the gift for a gift, or the gift for a favor. This morning, release that to the Lord. Maybe you want to say to him, Lord, I want to give, or I want to accept the grace gifts in my life. I've been bad at it. I need to accept it and embrace it for your glory and for your honor. If you're willing to say that before him while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand. Just lift it up if you're willing to say, Lord, I want to do this. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. Father, it's Christmas. We've lit candles to celebrate the light coming into the world, but the light's already here. Lord, we confess to you that there have been times where we've held on to our own wants, our own needs, put on our own expectations. Father, we know that that lowly manger was a place where you were born. That you allowed your son to be born there so that he could die, so that he could rise again, be victorious over all the bad stuff we've done. Lord, today we, in our heart of hearts, recommit ourselves afresh to you. Lord, I pray that you would give to us what we require through this Christmas season so that we would create memories and so that we would, Lord, leave a godly heritage. May we be givers of gifts of grace as you bestowed on us the gift of grace. To that manger, to that we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice that you gave, not only in manger, but on a cross, so that we could live eternally. To you be the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.